Good afternoon. I'm Jason Cables, Chair of the Board of Directors Finance and Audit Committee. Today is September 26, 2024, and the time is 2:04 p.m. I now call to order this third quarter meeting of the Finance and Audit Committee. This meeting is being held in person in the offices of the Surplus Lines Stamping Office of Texas at 1601 East Pflugerville Parkway, Suite 3301, Pflugerville, Texas, 78660. The Deputy Commissioner of the Financial Regulation Division of the Texas Department of Insurance, or her delegate, was notified of this committee meeting on September 5th, 2024, in accordance with Section 2C2 of the Surplus Lines Stamping Office Plan of Operation. Notice of this meeting was published in the Texas Register on September 19th, 2024, in accordance with Chapter 551 of the Texas Government Code. Committee members were notified of this meeting September 5th, 2024. A conference call-in number was provided to members of the public in a public meeting notice. Committee members Ezekiel Nathal and Nick Lawrence are present. A quorum of two or more committee members is present. Are there any other board members in attendance? Also attending are Executive Director Greg Brandon, Director of Finance Donna Ogg, Diane Herrera, Director of Operations Denise Amesquita, Director of Human Resources Yolanda Stone, Director of IT, and General Counsel Stan Strickland. Denise, would you announce any other stamping office staff attending this meeting?
Let the record reflect that Cheyenne Herrera is joining us via Teams. The following are all SLTX employees: Ariel Rosario, Catherine Hall, Jennifer Dickey, Christian Porter, Portia Jeffries, Robin Porter, Rodolfo Camarena, Ruben Olivares, Chantel Jackson, Toby Pick, and Tyler Perdue.
Thank you. Are any representatives of the Texas Department of Insurance or the Comptroller of Public Accounts present or attending by telephone?
Barbara Lazard Hernandez with the Texas Department of Insurance, Office of General Counsel.
Andrew Rowe, Company Licensing Director.
Thank you. Is a TSLA liaison attending in person or by telephone? All board members, stamping office employees, board liaisons, and state agency representatives should identify themselves when they speak. Please mute your phones or microphones when you are not speaking. We have some procedural announcements before we get to the agenda. We will not have a public comments for this meeting. Representatives of state agencies and members of the public are welcome to listen to or record this committee meeting, but please refrain from asking questions of the committee members during the meeting or interjecting comments during the committee's discussions. Members of the public or media, please place your phone on mute. State agency personnel may be asked questions about their agency's policies if those questions relate to an agenda item. Antitrust activity or discussion are prohibited at all stamping office functions. This prohibition includes the exchange of information concerning individual company rates, coverages, market practices, claim settlement practices, expenses, or any other competitive aspect of an individual company's operations. We will move on to agenda item two, discussion of the appropriate approval of June 28, 2024 Finance and Audit Committee meeting minutes. Everyone was provided a copy of the June 28, 2024 Finance and Audit Committee minutes. Are there any revisions or corrections to the meeting minutes? Any further discussion? There being no further discussion, do we have a motion to approve the June
28, 2024 minutes? Deacon Lethal makes a motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All approved, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Motion passes. We will now move to agenda item 3, discussion and appropriate action on 2024 finance year-to-date update. Donna Ogg will present this item.
Thank you, Jason. While the slide up, there we are. So we're presenting through August for our finances, both August, the current month, and then through August year to date. Stamping fees were over budget 2% or $12,700 for August, and over budget 1% for the year or $43,200. Investment income was over budget 86% or almost $52,000 for August, and over budget 54%. $297,000 for the year, which means that we're earning more on our investments than we projected for the year a year ago when we were having to put our budget together. So total operating expenses were under budget for August, $66,200 or 10%, and under $1.4 million or 22% for the year. Salaries and benefits were under budget 13%. $52,300 for the month, and 29% or over $1.2 million for the year. We had been 5 heads short on what we had budgeted for our staff for the year. We hired 3 at the beginning of July, so that hasn't quite caught up with the budget. And also, we had budgeted to fund our pension in January, which did not happen until September. So that explains why we're under budget so much thus far. Professional services were under budget 20% or $6,000 for August, and under budget 7% or almost $23,000 year to date. In ITS, the underage is due to RSI not being engaged since we rolled out the new version of the database, along with MIS ending earlier than expected. Those two reasons will be the same reasons through the end of the year. I feel like a broken record sometimes. For operations, 50% of the Lemonlight SOW was paid in January, where the budget had that cost spread out equally. So the months will be under budget by that amount. Conference and education were under budget 60% or $4,700 for August, and 67% or $48,500 for the year due to the timing of and quantity of budgeted conferences and trips. Travel and entertainment were under budget 92% or $5,600 for the month, and 50% under for $28,000 for the year for the same reason as conference and education. Occupancy and operating expenses, this one probably looks a little funky to everybody. We were under budget $93,600 or 203% for the month, and $145,000 or 38% for the year. And the biggest contribution for this is some of you might remember that last year we implemented being compliant with the GASB 87, where we had to make our leases, operating leases, we put them on the balance sheet, and then we have to amortize them. Well, we have subscribed to a platform called NetLease, who is helping us with this process. And as of August, we got that caught up. So what you're seeing here is a booking of January through August, and it's a reclass of, we have 3 leases that are now capital leases, our building here, our copier, and our postage machine, where the way to present it accurately is to remove those monthly expenses from the lease expense, which is in operating, and move it down to amortization. And so that's what that reclass is. You see that for August, operating is under and G&A is over because we caught up January through August. Going forward, I will be booking those monthly and we won't see those swings. But that's what explains that. And you'll also see it when I get to the budget, the variances from prior year to 2025 is because of that reclass. Additional categories that contributed to being under were software maintenance, computer equipment, and printing. So in G&A, expenses were over budget, $99,300 or 62% for August, and over $99,100 or 8% for the year. And as I was explaining, interest and amortization expense due to booking that 8 months worth of those three leases, and also contingency expense, which was not used, resulted in $3,200 savings for the month and $31,700 for the year. So we had an operating income for August of $217,800 and a little over $1 million income for the year. We budgeted for an operating income of $87,000 for the month of August and a loss of $749,000 through August. And again, we need to remember that we had not funded the pension through August. So the change in investment value was an increase of approximately $222,000 for August and $365,000 for the year. That's our current finances. Any questions?
Yes. This is Jason Cables. So the lease change was just a reclass of expenses that had been already recorded just into a different account.
Exactly. Yes, precisely.
And if you happen to know, the pension that you anticipate funding in September, approximately what value do you know?
It was $871,000.
$836,700.
I have too many numbers running around my head.
That'll be in September.
That's correct. That'll show up in September. So we will no longer be as under budget in salaries.
Is there any discussion or questions from Ms. Ogg regarding the 2024 finance year-to-date update? Hearing none. Ms. Ogg, do you have a recommendation regarding the 2024 finance year-to-date update?
No, I do not.
Thank you. Please continue with your presentation for the remainder of this agenda item, the discussion and appropriate action of the 2025 proposed budget.
Thank you. Just to remind everybody, per Section 3A4 of our plan of operation, states the stamping office must submit a proposed budget for the stamping office's operating and capital expenses and contingent expenses for the following calendar year to the board's audit and finance committee. So this presentation will fulfill that requirement. Oh, I am so sorry. I missed. I was so excited to talk about the budget.
I think I moved forward.
Oh, you did. It's your fault.
It's in Cables on the record.
Okay. So let's see. We went into the year, our fund balance was almost $32.7 million, which was a little over $20 million over the maximum for the year. And to remind everybody, our maximum, which is calculated every year based on the average of the prior, two times the average of the prior 5 years operating expenses. So for 20, audited, yes. So for 24, that max was calculated at $12,538,000. So through August, our year-to-date net income of $1.38 million resulted in a fund balance on August 31st of $34,068,000, which is $21.5 million over our current fees. Any questions there?
How would you like to, would you now like to move into the presentation of the 2025 proposed budget?
Yes, well, I've already read the retirement, so we'll go into the budget. So we're proposing for 25, and for comparison, we've included the adopted budget for 24, which is what we're currently operating under. So for revenue, we're projecting a 4% increase, or almost $285,000 of stamping fee revenue. And we've, thanks to our guru, Christian, has done some great calculations based on our current stamping fee. And you might recall, we changed our stamping fee at the beginning of the year. And as through August, 77% of our filings are now on that new lower stamping fee. So our budget for next year is based on those performance. Interest and other income increased by 40%, or $319,000, because of the increase in the interest rates this year, and we reinvested. Maturities that came due during the year, we're realizing more income on those for the next 3 years. So overall, we predict an increase in revenue of 7% over 24's budget, or $602,800. For expenses, salaries and benefits increased 7%, or $447,600 for 25. The increase is due to merit raises for the staff, which of course increases associated burden, taxes and such. And we never get our insurance renewals in, but at this time of the year, so we just have to budget for an increase. And we use anywhere between 8 and 30% increase for the different lines of health insurance coverage that we provide for our staff. And we've also budgeted to fund the maximum allowed on our pension plan for next year. Salaries and benefits represent 69% of the total expenses, where for 24, they represented 67%. Professional services decreased 10%, or $45,000, due to Cyber 7 reducing the cost of the contract because of the decrease in servers that need to be supported. There was a slight increase to accounting and audit due to administrative fees associated with the pension, which is a new cost for us. Professional services represent 4% of the total, where they represented 5% for 24. Conference and education decreased 8%, or almost $8,300, and remained 1% of our budget. Travel and entertainment increased 31%, or $21,000 from 24, but was still 1% of the budget. The increase is due to the developers attending one additional conference than what was budgeted for 2024. And we're also sending two developers plus Shalonda to a conference in Florida where it was local this year. So travel expenses represent that change. It's more expensive. Occupancy and operating expenses decreased $153,500, or 27%. And the main reason is the lease expenses, as I mentioned before, the lease expense is now represented down in amortization, which is under G&A. And also, so that resulted in $119,600 from our lease expense being moved down to amortization. Our copier and postage machines, which are the two other leases, are minor. It's our lease, our office lease, that is the bulk of that. Maintenance and repair of equipment is down 38%, or over $3,300, as we're expecting lower cost. Software and maintenance is decreasing $31,360, or 9%, because we had a reduction in our servers that resulted in a lower Azure monthly occupancy and operating monthly cost. Occupancy and operating represents 4% of the budget for 25, where for this year it was 6%. G&A increased $139,200, or 7%. Our insurance program is budgeted to decrease around 7%. And then again, as previously mentioned with our lease compliance with GASB, amortization is projected to increase $132,000 or 8% from 2024. Part of that is also due to leasehold improvements for this space, which were added in March of this year. We didn't receive that invoice until well into first quarter of this year. So we just now started amortizing that leasehold improvement expense, which is $21,000 for the year. We've talked about our three capital leases. Depreciation is projected to increase $10,650 or 26%. That's due to the addition of computer equipment this year. So total G&A is 21% of the expenses, up from 21%. So you can see operating and occupancy went down and G&A went up. That shows that reclass of those leases. Contingency shows an increase of 2%, $2,000 or 4%, which we would expect to see with the 4% increase in expenses. So total budgeted expenses increased 4% or $404,000 over 24. Overall, the budget predicts an operating loss of $1,090,000 for 25, as opposed to a budgeted loss of $1.288 for 24. That's a change of about $200,000 or 15%. So our expected increase in revenue more than compensates for our increase in budgeted expenses. Any questions?
So the going to the stamping fees, you noted 77% were on the new fee, which foreseeably would become close to 100.
Correct.
So you're really forecasting more volume as well.
Yes.
The salaries and benefits, that's where the pension is, correct?
That's correct.
And we did budget for it last year,
correct?
Right? Okay. Yeah. So that's why it's not just significant a change. You know, that's the biggest area where the biggest increase area, but.
Correct.
Hey, this is Nick. How much are you all budgeting for the pension in this budget?
Projected budgeted amount is $1,162,500.
Is that the reason, or that's what you for? Is it 150% of the contribution, or is that the cash value of what the anticipated values for the employees for that year specifically? Does that make sense?
It does. And so we received, the very beginning of September, we received from the actuary the calculated cost for our 2023 contribution, which it's not just straight math. And so for 24, we're still waiting. We should have it by the end of October, early.
Yeah, we don't have the actuary report for 2024. So for 2025, we basically wrapped up the 2023 number. So it is 100 and I don't think it's 150%, but it's
above 100%.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Above 100% of what we expect, but we don't have the number yet. So,
yeah, we don't even have 24 to kind of use that as guide.
Yeah. Yeah. So we don't have the 2025 number at all. We don't have the 2024 number, but we do have the 2023. And remember, 2023 was the lowest number those years projected. So we expect it to be, but this is one of those things, because you're talking about data that is, we're a year away from having 2025 data. So we'll just give it our best shot. And if we're off on the budget, then we're off on the budget.
Right. And with increased employee count and increased tenure, those numbers
will
go up.
Yes. Correct.
And this is a long-term question beyond just the 2025 number, but if we continue to pay beyond the annual contribution on the pension, how long do we target doing that to then a point where there is enough in the funds that it does not make sense to continue to do go above and beyond?
So the actuaries have not put pencil to paper for that, okay, but just thinking aloud, that number is roughly somewhere between $7 and $10 million. Okay. So once you funded, and it kind of depends on when people retire, right? Sure. How long it takes you to get there. So we have a lot of flexibility in how we want to fund the pension going forward. We can fund really anywhere from the min to max. And the goal here is really to maximize it because of the reserve balance being as high as it is and our projected investment income being so high. We really need to take advantage of this while we can, but we don't have to. So the intention is to do this for as long as possible, but also recognizing that just mathematically, because the actuaries put in, you know, a lot of effort into this, and you guys probably are already aware of this, that it's pretty easy to calculate the number for any individual employees. But whenever you're trying to figure out things and things like that, you know, you basically reverse engineer that as well, and you take it back off. And so the number is not nearly as big because it started with what would be the number to fund this thing in perpetuity. Mm-hmm. And it's not nearly as big as you think. And that was the one. We didn't even put it on the back of a napkin. We were just spitballing. And they can give us that number if we really, really want it. But for now, you know, frankly, it doesn't make a lot of sense to shoot for that number whenever we have that's not the way pensions are. So the actuaries are not super comfortable with talking in those kinds of terms. They'd much rather put together this. So once they get the 2024 number done, we'll be much more comfortable with the 2025 number, just scaling off of 2024. And then in probably 25 or 26, at least in budget seasons, then you really can start talking, what does it take to fund this in perpetuity for the most part, right? In perpetuity is really the wrong way to say it, right? But for the duration of most people's career here, what would it take? And it's not, I mean, it's a seven-figure number, but it may not be an eight-figure. So it's kind of interesting mathematics, but we haven't, and you know, we can't hold anybody to that because we haven't done any actuarialization of that projection. It was simply just spitballing with the actuaries, what would it take to do that. So it's an interesting conversation, and that's about all it is for right now. We don't have any numbers to back it.
Fair enough. Yeah. Just curious about the future.
How many years can we do it? Yeah, that's
because there's a point where if the amount in the pension fund is, you know, twice or three times what the payout would be if everyone were to retire at that moment, then
right, you
know, doesn't seem like it makes sense to keep going.
You would. Yes. You're right. Yeah. You're right.
But especially on the front end, then getting it in now, and especially when we do have such high reserve balance.
Right. Yeah, it's advantageous for us to do that right now, but we can't, you know, we're not going to do anything outside what actuarial justification allows. So,
and the IRS has limitations as well. Yeah. We have to make sure that we comply with all of that.
Yeah, for sure.
So we definitely rely on the
actuarial table as well, because we are a nonprofit. The IRS rules that normally govern things don't necessarily apply to us. So the actuaries are kind of dipping their toe into new water. So they don't have great familiarity with check those things either, because there's a lot of things that for-profit companies would make decisions based almost exclusively on the tax implications. So we, not having that, we have a lot more flexibility, and our actuaries are unfamiliar with that, so they have to really kind of think it through.
Organizations having too much money,
it's truly very different. The closest they can possibly was credit unions will sometimes do this, but not because they have too much cash. It's for other purposes. But they're the only other organizations that have ever really even asked questions we're asking.
So. Okay. Thank you.
Chair Cables, this is Stan Strickland. Just for the record,
That was Garrett Sprouse, chair of the board, that has joined the meeting and was speaking.
Apologize, I was late and I failed to identify myself.
Just wanted to make sure you were kind of here.
Any other questions on our proposed budget?
Hearing none. Ms. Ogg, do you have a recommendation regarding the 2025 proposed budget?
I do. I recommend that the Finance and Audit Committee refer the 2025 proposed budget as presented to the full board for review with the recommendation that it be referred to the Deputy Commissioner of the Financial Regulation Division of the TDI in accordance with Section 2B7 of the Surplus Lines Stamping Office Plan of Operation.
Thank you. Do I hear a motion that this committee refer the 2025 proposed budget as presented to the full board for consideration with the recommendation that it be referred to the Deputy Commissioner of the Financial Regulation Division of TDI in accordance with Section 2B7 of the Surplus Line Stamping Office Plan of Operation?
Nick, I'll make a motion.
Do I have a second?
Ezekiel Mathal, second.
Any further discussion? All approved, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Motion passes. This brings us to our last agenda item, adjournment. Having no other business on today's agenda, I'll move to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second. This is Nick.
Thank you, Nick. This meeting is officially adjourned at 2:35 p.m. September 26, 2024.
The thing, like, I was following something, like, it's going to be crazy.